Good evening. Please do me this favor and endeavor to stick around and savor the best of our presentation flavor as we bring to you Game On, Ask Femi and the gang on Nigeria Info. On the broadcast for this evening, we have a wrap of action that took place in the big leagues on the European continent. The race for the Premier League title gets even hotter as Chelsea had Costa Storta and now their manager is no longer the man in charge of that side in Graham Potter. Also, we can focus on the battle for the Nigeria Professional Football League title. It's now called the Nigeria Premier Football League these days. Akwa United beating Enyimba in the standout fixture. Rivers United may have lost away from home in the CAF Confederation Cup, but they still have already qualified for the next round of the competition. That's the quarterfinal stage of that one. And there's news around a merger between WWE and the UFC. Anthony Joshua, who's gotten back to winning ways in boxing, and Max Verstappen, who was shining in Australia in the Formula One Grand Prix. We have details of these and more to excite you on Game On. The game is on! Hi, I'm Knowledge.
And I'm Piego.
Together we are Ajibo Hustlers, and you're listening to Femi and the Gang on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Boss Lifestyle.
All right, well done to the guys, by the way, from Port Harcourt who are shining around the world these days, Ajibo Hustlers. Let's hustle our way from a good perspective now to the end of the broadcast for this evening. Game On, brought to you by Femi and the Gang. Now, just before you had the intro for the show, you had seen and perhaps listened to something, not seen now, but listened to some promo talking about Sports Night. And I'll tell you a bit more about Sports Night as the show progresses for this evening. He's going to make his debut, that program, Sports Night, on Thursday evening. For now, though, let's meet the cast. Chuman Ali is my name. I have Adesi Michael, who joins the presentation table for the evening. Good evening to you, Adesi, and welcome to Game On.
Hi. Good evening, Lagos. It's a very fine Monday evening, and we're very excited to be here. Graham Potter finally is out of Stamford Bridge, and I'm sure most Chelsea fans should be happy with that. And it's just been a sacking weekend everywhere in the English Premier League. This season, 12 managers are already gone. And it promises to be a very exciting Game On tonight.
It sure should be an exciting show, as I also do have Chidozie Okoroji, who's in the building, sporting the jersey of a team that lost over the weekend. Good evening to you over there.
Yeah, Chuma, I don't know why you had to rub that in, but you know, it's a Man United jersey, and I keep saying that
you just call the team.
No. You already set it in motion. So I have to finish what you started. Even if Man United go to the championship, I still support them. You know, my love for United goes, I don't know, I can't leave them. I don't know. I don't see myself supporting or loving any of that team the way I love Man United. But it's good to be here, Chuma. They lost to Newcastle. Newcastle had to bounce back. I mean, after that Carabao Cup, you know, lost to Man United.
Why did you take your time to explain all these things?
I just want to let you know that setbacks are an avenue for a comeback. You understand? They suffered a setback yesterday, and I know Man United will bounce back. So, Chuma, good evening, and welcome to the fans, to Adeze, to Brownish, and to everybody that loves football, and of course, sports in general. Thank you very much. With these few points of mine, I hope I've welcomed you to actually enjoy the show this evening.
Now that you're firing on all cylinders, I hope it doesn't backfire since you're all back. Well, there will be no hall back as Brownish says hi to the microphone. Chikuzi Brownish, welcome to Game On tonight.
Good evening. I don't know why Overdose was channeling his inner Tambita Kalshit,
but
just to be very honest, it's been a very interesting day. I want to the taxi guy who brought me here, I want to say a big shout out to him, Mr. Alex. He knows everybody. He knows, I feel like he knows the presenters on Nigeria Info more than, but he was like, maybe there was only one or two names that he would not be able to pick out their voices, but we spoke and he asked me, "Oh, are you Brownish?" And I was like, "Yeah." So it was a very revealing moment for me. I was like, "Wow, Nigeria Info,
my brother.
You guys need to increase my salary. Let me start driving moto. I cannot be hopping up and down." He's like, "If I enter boss one day, they give me slap because I cannot give voice.
This is the year where you're going to actually push, you know, four wheels. I know thought our family guy was going to do,
It's killing me, But yeah, shout out to everybody. Shout out to everybody whose team won over the weekend. And those whose team didn't win and then they had to throw away their manager. But it is what it is. I guess Graham Potter did. He apparated out of Chelsea. Graham Potter did magic and disappeared from Chelsea. And as a result, we've got a lot to talk about.
This feels like a setup, really. Wow. Wow. The intros are really, you know, causing a bit of thoughts in advance as we delve into the stories immediately. And hey, first off, we focus on the Premier League. And just to remind you that we do have exclusive rights for radio in Nigeria to broadcast the Premier League for you alongside our partners at TalkSport. So when you think about the Premier League in Nigeria on radio, the first place you should think of should be Nigeria Info.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, thank you, sir. On that note, let's get to results from the weekend. It happened to be match day 29. What that means is there's 9 more games to the end of the campaign for Arsenal if they want to pop the champagne at the end of the season. Now, before I get to the Gunners, the early kickoff on Saturday saw Manchester City beat Liverpool by 4-1. It was a great day in the office for the citizens. Kevin De Bruyne, Riyad Mahrez, all of them enjoying themselves with partnerships. And again, it was a game where Grealish showed rivals that they don't know Jack Grealish now. We saw some impeccable performance for Man City yesterday. Got that success over Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool. Now, I'll speak a bit more about that game in a bit. However, elsewhere, it was AFC Bournemouth 2, Fulham 1, Arsenal 4, Leeds United 1. The Gunners are riding on the crest of a wave of R&D, and again, Mikel Arteta keeps propelling them to get closer to the title more than ever before. That victory for Man City ensured that Arsenal's lead at the top was cut to just 5 points before the Gunners played. And you have to love how Arteta leads Arsenal as they beat Leeds United.
Control is what we can do, and we've been discussing that for the last few days. After international break, we had a lot of tricky situations to manage with a few players, and there's always that question mark how the team is going to react after that. I think they were exceptional. They were really at it. Everybody wanted to be involved, and we won the game in a convincing way, which is good, and the only thing that we can control.
Yeah, they're trying to handle the one that they can handle, which is winning their own games in this race for the title. Brighton and Hove Albion ended their game against Brentford. It's all the BB guys now. It ended 3-3. 3-3, sorry. Crystal Palace beat Leicester City. This is an Yes, information next up. And when I return, I have more for you right here on Nigeria Info. Yes, I'm sure you knew that. Kemi and the gang on 99.3 Nigeria Info. The Game On Show is what's up and running at this time, and it's very interactive. That's the best part of what we do for you right here on radio. We want to ensure that we enjoy the fun together. We learn from you, and you also listen to us too at the same time. So there's WhatsApp, there's Twitter, and there's the phone lines too for the evening. I'll be checking out Facebook, yeah, because I know that we do have those posts coming through on Facebook to us, to the show. And I'll be reading out some of your comments on Facebook. So feel free, if Facebook is your preferred platform, then you can go over there and drop a comment to respond to the conversations that we're having for the show for the evening. My name is Chuma Nnoli. I'm in here with Adesia Michael, Chidozie Okoro, JK Overdose, and also the man you love to call Chigozie Brownish. All right, so let's get back to it. Just before the commercial break, we were talking about the Premier League and what we got from match day 29. Arsenal's manager Mikel Arteta had shared with you his delight at the victory for the Gunners over Leeds United. A bit more of those results for you at this very time of asking from Saturday. Yeah, more of them now. Crystal Palace beating Leicester City by 2-1. Crystal Palace beating Leicester City by 2-1. That led to the sack of Brendan Rodgers. Roger that, really, after being coach of Leicester City for 4 years. The home of the best talk. Yeah, they just need to remind you every time that this is what this thing is all about. The best talk is what you're enjoying now on Nigeria Info. I hope you are ready to talk to us too. Rodgers off from his role as coach of Leicester City, who would now be searching for a permanent manager to take over from him. Nottingham Forest and Wolverhampton Wanderers shared the Spurs 1-1 in their own game. And Chelsea lost to Aston Villa by 2-0. Another outcome that had ramifications, because less than 24 hours after that defeat for the Blues, the manager of the side, Graham Potter, was shown the exit door after about 4 months in charge of the Blues. Well, there's going to be a discussion around that game from us in a minute or two. But I think it's important I take you through the results for Sunday. West Ham United beat Southampton by a goal to nothing. It ended Newcastle 2, Manchester United 0. Newcastle getting their pound of flesh after losing to the Red Devils in the Carabao Cup final. They found a way to win this one in the Premier League. Eddie Howe is their boss and he's propelled them to be third best on the league table at this time. Brilliant stuff, isn't it?
Really good feeling. I thought we fully deserved the win. A really good performance from the team. I felt we prepared really well for the game. What I mean by that is how well the players are trained during the international break. Been really pleased with what they've delivered. They've worked hard. And when you sort of see that behind the scenes, you hope for a performance that matches what the players have given. And I thought we got that today. We had to be patient. We created a number of chances we didn't take. But delighted with the two we did get.
Well done to Newcastle for that victory over Manchester United to go third best on the table behind Man City and Arsenal in ascending order. Everton are up against Tottenham Hotspur. That game kicked off just about 2 minutes ago. We would be letting you in on the goals if and when they are scored during the course of the first 45 minutes of that fixture involving Everton and Tottenham Hotspur. Now, this is what the table looks like with the majority of sides playing on Saturday and Sunday. Arsenal top 72 points from 29 matches. It's Manchester City who are currently second best. They have 64 points. They played a game less than the Gunners and are 8 points behind Arteta's team right now. Newcastle third best, 27 games they have played and they have 50 points. Manchester United have played 29 times and in fact United have played 27 times. I'll get to them after I speak about Tottenham Hotspur, who have played 29 times and who are currently fourth with 50 points. Man U are fifth now on the table. They played 2 games less than Spurs. They have 50 points as well, but an inferior goal difference compared to the Tottenham team. And they have to fight back with those outstanding matches to get back into the top four places and hope to qualify automatically for the UEFA Champions League next season. Chelsea dropped from number 10 Sports to number 11 Sports with that defeat on Saturday. And Liverpool, who lost to Man City in the early kickoff, are 8th best on the log. 27 games played by Jurgen Klopp's team and they have 42 points. Over now to the guys in the studio for the talk. Now, I know that it's easy to want to delve into analyzing what we got from the big teams over the weekend, but some things overshadowed those results, and that was the sacking, you know, spree, really. Leicester City, first off, letting go Brendan Rodgers, and then later that day, which was yesterday, Chelsea went on to let go Graham Potter. And I remember teasing on Twitter last night and I said that it looks like these two teams were keen not to sack their managers on the 1st of April. So those managers will not think it's April Fool. They had to wait until the next day to authenticate the exit of those managers. And the first thing at this stage would be on the bigger team, which is Chelsea, and where they go from here. Because we know that at this time, there's, of course, a man who steps in as interim manager. But the quest is to get a permanent manager as quickly as possible. So, what do you make of the sacking of Graham Potter? Should he have had a bit more time, perhaps? That's the question for you who's listening and my colleagues in the studio too. And now that he has been sacked, who is the best candidate to take over as Chelsea manager and galvanize that side and propel them to successes as soon as possible? Who's the best candidate to take over as Chelsea boss? Now they are searching for one. And you think Potter perhaps should have had a bit more time. I'll come to Adeze Michael first off on this because several names already been thrown into the conversation, even though we know there's one that seems to be the favourite. But, you know, speaking now as a special advisor on Chelsea affairs, who's the best candidate for that job to make this team achieve success again for all the money they have spent in the last 1 year or so?
It's honestly, if in my own opinion, I don't think there's even all of the managers that will suit the project at Chelsea under the new Todd Boehly consortium. All of the managers that are out of job, let me put it that way, for me, don't suit the profile. And all of them just came out from a toxic relationship. Some of them have not even calculated exactly why they lost their job. Julian Nagelsmann is the man, for instance, in the front burner. It's just how many days ago that he was sacked. I'm sure his camp will be telling him, guys, it's just too early to jump on another project. You just have to catch your breath. But what Graham Potter was always sitting on a time bomb. He was a dead man walking. He was on a thin ice. and it was only a matter of time. If as of yesterday, somehow, he would have been in charge of the game tomorrow. As of yesterday, Chelsea had to send out a media advisory informing the Premier League that he's going to come for the conference duties. But after 5 hours, whatever the meeting that Todd Boehly did, and eventually they said, look, man, he's not going to be the one. And then they sacked him and they reinstated him. So the record was just too poor. In 31 games, only 12 wins. Only 12 wins, 31 games, 11 losses. That is quite staggering. That is nowhere near Chelsea kind of material.
True.
And the profile and the character, it was always going to... It was doomed from the start. First, there was no big club experience. Secondly, the resources that was given to Graham Potter is that kind of resources that manager in his level would dream about. The highest club record signing he got when he was at Brighton was Adam Webster for £20 million from Bristol City. Imagine you're in a club where they're giving you a player that's worth £107 million. Mm. What are you going to do with that? He was not able to manage big egos in the locker room. There were concerns that he was not in total control. It's not his fault. He was on his own. Todd Boehly, in fact, the accusation is that they were in a haste to replace Thomas Tuchel. And that is why Chelsea are away. Normally, he was not supposed to come to Chelsea, but there had to be a stopgap for someone to just take on the job. It was always going to be a gamble, you know. But eventually, he came, and so many things. The players were not really playing according to what he wanted them to do. You see Chelsea players dribbling to the final third. Instead of them to pass the ball among each other, like that unity, see everyone wanted to shoot from everywhere, and it was costing them. They were not scoring goals, enough of them. And in the defensive unit, it was not a problem. They conceded 20 goals, almost the same with Arsenal and City. But the other end was where the problem is, scoring 20-something goals in the Premier League. Meanwhile, City, them have gotten about 70-something. So the character, the surroundings around the club, Potter was always going to go. It was a big project for him. But going forward now, what the club, the kind of manager they need... Enrique is somebody that has not been tested in the Premier League. All of this, Julian Nagelsmann has not been tested in the Premier League. Mauricio Pochettino had dressing room issues with players that have got ego.
Okay.
In Mbappe and Jordan and Neymar. He couldn't just... He was not in full command. He didn't have that charisma to be in full command. There are some managers that their profile is still out around clubs that are not... Chelsea's job comes with a very unique expectation and demand. Mm. So, Julian Nagelsmann is 35. Thiago is older. Kalidou Koulibaly on paper, we know he's claiming 32, but these are men. Would they respect him? Remember what happened in the case of Andres Villas-Boas some years ago? He was respected by Terry, Lampard and the rest. And then So, you know, it looks like Julian Nagelsmann, but is his profile? Yeah, he's a title winner in Germany, but we don't know if he's able to come to the Premier League and go toe-to-toe. So what Chelsea need, first of all, is a manager with a clear vision.
Okay.
The vision is, okay, for instance, Thomas Tuchel, I wasn't really a fan of him towards the end of his stay at Stamford. But when he came, I remember one of his notable statements. He said, I want to build a team that will be difficult for teams to face, that will be so difficult to beat. Yeah. And he fashioned out something immediately. He walked up. So Chelsea needs somebody that will come on ground, give them that clear identity. And this team looks like a team that needs to be taught how to do what and when to do it in the field of play. So they need someone that is clear. And then they need that communicator. I'm not saying that the next manager should come and claim, hey, I'm going to be the next special one. But someone that can pull the fans and the players in the same direction with what he says and what he does, as well as improving younger players, and that collaboration with the Todd Boehly consortium. Tuchel was accused of not being supportive and, you know, stuff like, so they need someone that will improve young players, that can communicate very well, that has got vision and identity, and big club experience. Very importantly, big club experience. That is where maybe Pochettino would come in, but we know how he's struggling in the English Premier League with Tottenham Hotspur. But I don't think all of them don't fit perfectly. I was talking about Pep Guardiola, it's almost impossible. Carlo Ancelotti, these are big names that will come into this Chelsea squad and the boys will listen.
Good points, really. Now, Overdose, listening to Daisy, I know Brownish wants to come in immediately. I'm going to give him that chance, but I'm keen also to add something, which I'm sure people from the other side could want to argue, you know, strong points, intelligent thoughts from Adeze.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to say, but that Pep, for example, didn't have that Premier League experience. Now, sometimes we use that line, Premier League experience, even we players too, but certain players come in, Bruno Fernandes came in and hit the ground running immediately. Klopp didn't have Premier League experience. Yeah, he had to build, but Pep too didn't always, not like he won in his first season, which could also be an argument too that, okay, Chelsea need to win things immediately, and so you need Premier League experience guy. As in, I won't fight him, because he's not already drunk liar. No,
okay.
Okay, but Brownish, yeah. Could that be something we throw out of the window in this conversation? Because truly, the big names are available, the ones that are free now, truly, all of them, if you want to call them, then there's no line of Premier League experience with them. There's none for Zidane, there's none for Enrique, there's none for Nagelsmann, like Adese said. You know, so are we just going to rely on that line of Premier League experience for the next person Chelsea gets? Yeah, sorry, this mic has to be on. Yeah.
Personally, I don't think Premier League experience flies for me. Yeah. Prior to, let's not even go into the big managers talking about Jurgen Klopp and Pep Guardiola. Let's look, and by the way, the two biggest managers in the English Premier League right now who have won the most in the past how many years both came from the German Bundesliga. Pep Guardiola and Jurgen Klopp, if we're being very honest. So
does that favor Julian?
So in my opinion, of all the three candidates, there's only one candidate that ticks all the boxes.
Because even the two girls have been coming from Germany at the point.
At a point, you know. So first off, the first box is, does he have big team experience?
Okay.
No team currently is bigger than Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, Barcelona, in quotes, right now. And this is a manager who was sacked from Bayern Munich, personally. Not, in my opinion, not because he wasn't getting the job done. I mean, he's got 8 out of 8 in the UEFA Champions League. But because he was getting, he was not favored by the management of Bayern Munich. And we know that Bayern Munich management is not the same with the management everywhere else.
Okay.
At Chelsea, he's going to get a very free hand. Graham Potter was given, there's no big team in the entirety of the top 5 leagues of Europe that would have such a bad run of games under one manager and still keep him up until the 2nd of April, if we're being very honest. So, first off, he has big team experience.
Okay.
Secondly, does he know how to build a team? Before Julian Nagelsmann went to Bayern Munich, where was he? I think he was at RB Leipzig, right? Yeah. He was at RB Leipzig.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so good at RB Leipzig that Bayern Munich had to go and do what they do when they see quality from other teams in their league. They went and they poached him, right? So this is a manager who has gone, he's even done what Potter couldn't do. He went from a small team that he built through his blood, sweat and tears to a big team, and he was getting it done. Let's not forget that this same Nagelsmann has won the Champions League with Bayern. He went through teams to win that Champions League.
He's Bundesliga title and the Bundesliga. German Cup. He's not won the Champions League.
It was not the one in 20. When did they win 20?
Was it? It was this Hansi guy Flick. That. It was Hansi Flick.
Yeah, he's not one. He came in after.
But to be honest, right? He has achieved.
He won the Bundesliga.
Yeah, and if.
Again, somebody will argue that Bundesliga be like, nah, easy walk in the park.
No, but here's the thing.
For your own points, he's a big team in Bayern, man. And
so far,
like
right now, in the Champions League, if we're being very honest, right? Bayern, from Nagelsmann's Bayern, has looked to be one of the top contenders, even more than Real Madrid.
Like you said, though, 8 over 8, man.
8 over 8. And they didn't go through easy sides, you know? So, but let's keep that aside. So he hasn't won the Champions League. But the fact is, he's coming from a Bayern Munich side. And if we're talking about, oh, there are these players that are older than him and stuff like that, he will phase them out.
Ask you, are you not scared of that age thing?
He will phase them out. Look at what Pep Guardiola did. Pep came in and he pursued Touré. Nobody in, as at the time when Pep Guardiola came in, nobody would have expected that a team would have been built that didn't have at least Touré's influence in it. But Pep made it in such a way that there's no player. If a manager has the backing of the board, there's no player that has more mouth than that manager.
Sure.
Right? So, and I know that players like Thiago Silva are very professional. Thiago Silva has worked under Mauricio Pochettino. He has worked under Thomas Tuchel, by the way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If of all the things, he is very professional and he's good at his job. But the point is, Chelsea has a very young team.
True.
They have players who guaranteed can look. Leroy Sané is older and more successful than Mason Mount. He's older and more successful than every Chelsea player except for the old ones. Every young Chelsea player. You see Leroy Sané, you see Sadio Mane, you see players like Thomas Muller. These are players that he has worked with, he has coached, he has created something with them that has been so lethal that people have been scared in the Champions League to face them. So coming into Chelsea, I think that he's the only manager that ticks the boxes. I love you, Luis Enrique. Right, but I think he's too inconsistent. He has a Spanish inconsistency, and if I'm being very honest, German managers, this in recent times, have gotten it done because the kind of football that they preach and the kind of football that they play is very efficient. Who wouldn't like to see Chelsea be able to steamroll over teams? And I think under Julian Nagelsmann, they will be able to do that. They've got the quality. They've got the ability to invest, even more than Bayern would be willing to invest. And then they also have, if they now have a manager who has the right tactics, Julian Nagelsmann, when you see his teams play, they have an identity.
Yeah.
Right? They like to dominate the ball. They're quick on the break. They are hard to break down at the back. In the Bundesliga, they found them out a lot, but that's because you have been playing against them season in, season out. But the fact is, in this Chelsea side, there are also young defenders who are there. Let's also not forget that Bayern Munich defenders are not that young. There are also young defenders who are there, who are willing to learn and who also have the pace to learn as well. So personally, I feel like there's no other option. If Chelsea want to make anything in the next two or three seasons, it's got to be Nagelsmann.
Nagelsmann for this guy, really. I'm going to come to you now, the listener. Only after I hear from Overdose. And just before Overdose speaks, let's remind you of why Thomas Tuchel was sacked in the first place. It wasn't about his performance as coach of Chelsea, even though they started getting bad results by their high standards and even his own high standards too before Porter came in. So when you're trying to think of who should take over from Porter, you have to factor this in too. Here's Todd Boehly, the owner of the setup, speaking about why Tuchel had to be let go.
When you take over any business, you just have to make sure that you're aligned with the people who are operating the business. And I think Tuchel is obviously extremely talented and someone who had great success at Chelsea. Our vision for the club was finding a manager who really wanted to collaborate with us, a coach who really wanted to collaborate. You know, I think there's a lot of walls to break down at Chelsea. And, you know, before the first team, for example, in the academy, didn't really share data, didn't they? They didn't share information about, you know, where the top players were coming from. So our goal is to really bring, you know, a team together.
Well, factoring in that from Todd Boehly, someone who's ready to collaborate with us, Overdose, as you did talk about who the best candidate for Chelsea be now to take over. You get a reason I'm saying, get the person to where Godet ready to collaborate with Thomas, with Todd Boehly and the Chelsea guys. Come in, sir.
Yeah. It's only a man who knows too much that pours water to the stew already prepared to him. And I think that's what Todd Boehly did. Thomas Tuchel was doing a good job. Don't forget, this was a manager who won 3 trophies in 18 months. I mean, it was
like
that far. No, I'm coming. And then Todd Boehly goes and says, okay, he wants, you know, to improve Chelsea. And then he sacks Tuchel just 6 matches into the new season.
But the results have been bad.
Again, it was a panic sack. Because this is a Chelsea side who were already in an economic problem. They were suffering an economic problem. Now their football manager approach of buying so many players, where has he led them to? But that's the truth. Sacking a manager who actually was, you know, on the verge of, look at Arteta. He suffered bad results, but the Arsenal board kept, you know, faith with him. Yeah. And look at him now. See what he's doing at Arsenal. Now, Todd Boehly looks at Thomas Tuchel, and I think the icing on the cake was Tuchel not wanting to buy Cristiano Ronaldo for whatever he wants to see. I beg to differ, like Sandra would say.
Yeah, but for marketing reasons, that made sense.
Yeah, well, that's by the way. Now, you bring in a Graham Potter who did not have any style, no idea. And then the results were bad, but then you say you want to build long term. I am sacking a man just 100 days into the new job.
People put him under too much pressure now to sack him.
See, Chelsea owners just show that they have more money than sense. And in all fairness, you know, to Todd Boehly, you know, you can't go into a business without understanding it. You might have the money, but you have the brain to actually align players. He was doling out money to sign players from Modric to Enzo Fernandez to Badiashile, you know, to Noni Madueke. Wow. I don't know. They were bringing the players, and then you have a coach in the mold of Potter who has not gotten that experience. So he was overwhelmed. This new signings, how do I play them? How do I keep the squad happy? Chelsea is not Brighton and Hove Albion, where you have Solly March, where you have, what's his name now, Leandro Trossard and Neil Mopé. These were players he could manage because they were not high-profile players. But now you're taking him into, it's just like somebody who's going to a public school, and then you now take him to, you know, a school with high-class facilities. He'll be overwhelmed. And that's what happened to Potter.
I beg you, let the past be the past.
No.
We're moving forward.
No.
We don't complain about Potter.
No.
We're moving forward.
The thing, moving forward is that it's going to be difficult for Chelsea to get another high-profile replacement. You know why? Because, first off, they need to balance their books. Financial fair play, which means they are the risk of incurring the wrath of the EPL or whatever. And then they now have to have a manager that will align to the new signings they are bringing in. If at all, he'll be giving time. As Todd Bailey has shown that he cannot give new managers time. So Chelsea's problem is like somebody who has 50 terabytes. It's too much. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to sort it out. But whatever and however they do, that's it.
Just to add to that quickly, yeah. Thomas will be paid £30 million already. Mm. And that's Chelsea spending almost £50 million just to settle managers. And the confusing part is when Tuchel was there, he was accused of not collaborating enough. But now that Graham Potter came, he was accused of collaborating too much. Another factor that the new coach that is going to come will have in mind is to strike a middle. Chelsea have two controlling owners. Okay. Chelsea have two sporting directors. Chelsea have recruitment data analysts. Chelsea have technical director. Okay. Chelsea have sporting director. So many voices. Who will you listen to? So many departments. And Todd Bowley wants the coach to work with all of the departments. So, problem, confusion, Tiwa. Pressure, Tiwa.
Too many cooks. I hope this soup doesn't spoil again because I already spoiled the first time.
It will spoil.
Moving on to you, really, because you certainly have to add some extra spice to this soup that we are cooking in the studio, our own. We don't have too many cooks. We know who to come in at the right time.
We have cooker. That's like we're selling a buka.
Cook that thing. Cook that thing.
Cucurella. Like Sola in suka.
You don't cost Wala for this guy. Are you double suka? Why are you scoring goals? 0700.
I'm sure
0700-993-993-993. That's the number you can dial to speak to us. That's 0700-993-993-993. And for our female caller, 01465-7190. That's 01465-7190. On WhatsApp is 0809-597-5805. So we're asking you now, it's easy to complain about the past, but now Chelsea are trying to look into the future. Who, your special advisor on Chelsea affairs, who is the best candidate to take over as coach of that team and take them back to the glory days? That's the question for you as you come in now. Welcome.
Hello, good evening, Chuma.
Good evening.
Good evening, everybody in the house.
Okay.
Good evening. But for me, you see, they pay me, say they never let Liverpool play Chelsea before they sack this coach.
Now, when you're calling, it's important to let us know who you are. So who's calling?
Hello?
Yeah, who's calling? Who's talking to
you? Yeah, for me, I believe the only coach now that can rescue Chelsea is Mourinho.
Wow.
Jose.
Is it possible for them to bring Mourinho back from Roma?
All right. You know that this is an impossible thing. So can we
just... So, with money, I think if they are able to persuade Mourinho, let Mourinho leave Roma. Let him come and rescue Chelsea. Because right. I don't see any player that is bigger than Mourinho that Mourinho cannot handle.
All right. Thank you for speaking to us. Good to hear from you. By the way, when you call into the show, please tell us who you are and where you're calling from. It's very important, okay? Hi, good evening. Welcome.
Hello, good evening.
Yes, what's your name, please?
This is Don Duque from Sokoyaba.
Welcome, Don.
I greet everybody in the studio.
Okay.
I was just holding my breath when the head I was talking, when he was talking. In fact, oh, come on. All of you have spoken very, very well. Mm. You understand? I don't know you talk like this, though. I don't know you talk like that. No, I know you are a very good analyst. You understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. You talk very well. You understand? And everything you said, whatever you said, yeah, I'm just seeing the picture of Chelsea. Okay. Seeing their management. Mm. But Chelsea themselves, the Chelsea management themselves, and get problem. You understand? They need to work on themselves. Too many organs in a company, in this company, and it brings confusion to the manager up front. You understand what I'm saying? I've worked in that kind of company before, where you have too many organs. It's poor thing. It makes the company not to move forward because this one will come and say, I have this organ. I work in that kind of company and I get out immediately because I don't want to have too many organs. I'm bringing confusion into my life and into the work I'm doing. Pointing everything for me. Let them bring any coach.
Okay.
Like somebody said, a big coach that knows how to manage a difficult club like Chelsea.
Okay.
And then the Chelsea, the players, to work on themselves. All the right. management
thank
to
you,
work
Don.
On themselves.
Right, thank you,
this
Don.
Is just my take. I'm happy that Graham Potter has gone.
I copy
Let
that.
Him go.
Thank you for your thoughts. I have to bring in more callers, so you have to be brief with your thoughts, please. Thank you very much, Don, for your call. We have Kanele, who's been on standby through Skype for a while. Kanele, I hope I pronounced your name right. Welcome.
Hey, one ball.
Football without violence. One game. So where are you calling us from?
Hey, I'm calling from Canada.
Beautiful. What part of Canada?
Ottawa.
Montreal. Okay, beautiful. So you want to advise Chelsea now who they should go for next?
Yes, guys. I'm going to say one word. In this age of chaos for Chelsea, we need one man that can destabilize, restabilize, and re-energize Chelsea.
Okay.
And that man is Jose Mourinho.
But do you think you can get him from AS Roma? He's doing well there too.
I think if the price is right, he'll move.
He's come before and you sacked him second time. You want him to come for a third time?
Unless he walk out for a third time. Mourinho likes money. Don't mind that, man. Once you bring the money towards it, they'll come. Forget all that thing at Roma. Once he brings the money, don't forget what he told Abraham. And Abraham should join him at Roma, that is tired of saying rain at England. But when you bring the money, he'll bring him back too. And that's what Chelsea needs right now. Chelsea needs a man like Mourinho that can hold the team together and break the team down and build it back up.
All right, I copy that. I want you to help me pronounce your name right so I get you right the next time. The full name.
It's Canelli. That's fine. Don't worry about it. It's Canelli.
How about the second name? Emeagi?
It's E.
Oh, just E, okay.
E is fine.
All right, yeah. E, all right. Canelle E, thanks for speaking to us from Montreal.
All right, guys.
All right, beautiful stuff. Let's start this commercial break. When we return, there's more for you on Game On right here on Nigeria Info. We delved into the other big leagues in Europe and the NPFL and other sports too. Welcome back to the show, Game On with Femi and the gang on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Time runs away when you're having fun. That's a popular line. And to think that we do have so much more to talk about means that we really have to run through things for sure. That's the voice of Chidozie Okoro, JK Overdose. Yeah. There's also Chigozie Brownish in the studio, Daisy Michael, and myself, Chuman Noli. Thank you for always speaking to us. We love you guys, certainly.
But Chuman, you shouldn't be surprised now. Bonaboy said it. Time flies like a tip in the...
Gasoline.
I heard you recently singing word for word, you know, some of the songs from Davido. I think that was just, that was like, wow, fantastic overdose.
Oh, okay. Especially, I know that Timeless is a good album. I like it.
I'm priding in you, really. let me read out like 7 comments on WhatsApp so we can move on to more things on the Game On show. We've spoken about the Premier League and who could fill in the blank space for Chelsea. Now that Graham Potter is off. By the way, the man who is interim coach of the Blues, Bruno Salto, said, if I'm here, it's because the club thought it was the right step. I spoke to the board. They have been supportive. It is a massive challenge. I have a lot of experience. I will try to help players, and I feel I can help the young players too. These are the words of Chelsea's interim coach now, Bruno Salto, as they search for a new manager. Graham Potter, don't use Chelsea blow. Michael with this comment on WhatsApp. And this is the one says, Potter, I tell you, man, Potter with EPL experience didn't live up to expectation. To me, that's not a requirement, okay? I wish you attached your name. It's important, please, when you send a message on WhatsApp, tell us your name and what part of the world you're in. You don't have to tell us the name of your street or your house number, but just give us an idea of where you're speaking to us from, okay? This one is from Chris, listening from Accra in Ghana. Chris Anozie, I see you, respect to you. Says, hello Chuma, Overdose Adeze, and also Brownish. Todd should make up his mind what he wants out from Chelsea in the immediate future. Rebuild and develop the Arsenal Arteta model, or instant trophies are returning like the City and Pep model. That's his confusion, and that's what will influence the new manager to bring in. No name I can put on the table now. I get your point, Chris, and it makes so much sense. First off, identify what the plan is before coming through with that. I get what you're saying, Chris. Thanks for that. OJ from the USA, also on WhatsApp, says, I think Luis Enrique would be a perfect manager if Chelsea need a coach that can turn things around. Okay. Good evening, Femi and the gang. My name is Olugbade Ezekiel from Bagada. Seriously, that DNA of impatience runs in Chelsea board and the fans. Well, Nagelsmann won't be a bad gamble. And Olugbade Ezekiel says yesterday was his birthday. Okay, happy birthday to you, Ezekiel Olugbade, and we pray that God blesses you with more successes in your life. Okay, I hope you had fun yesterday, and I wish you so much more fun in so many more years to come for sure. Now, we need to run off to you more things as we have a wrap of stuff that happened elsewhere in the world in football. I remember a big friend of mine in Port Harcourt years back who would say footballically. So let's talk about things footballically now. As we touch on the Nigeria Premier Football League, we did see action for match day 12 in the number one league in our country. Aqua United beating Aimba by a goal to nothing in the star match from Group A. Quarry United lost 0-1 to Shooting Stars. Plateau United and Benin Insurance shared the spoils 1-1. And in Group B, we saw more. Yeah, Enugu Rangers, Lobi Stars 1-1, the final score in that. And Rangers, the way they are going, look like a team who may just be flirting with relegation. Their boss is Abdul May Kaba.
I think we have to blame ourselves for this result. A game we created about 10 scoring opportunities. The opponents created one, and they were able to combat their own one. And we created about 10, and we can combat only one. I think it's our own problem. We are working seriously hard to make sure that we rectify all these issues. But it depends on the personnel that we go and play. We can continue to fight from this result.
I hope you guys plan and get things right, Enugu Rangers, honestly, because in the top division of Nigerian League football, you guys are regulars. And if you go to the lower division, you're going to look like strangers in that territory. Doma United 2, Niger Tornadoes 1 was another result. Bayelsa United were very dominant in their 5-1 success over Abia Warriors, while Wiki Tourists ran out 3-1 victors over Dakada FC of Oyo. Now, in the... on the continent now, I should say, in the CAF Confederation Cup, we did have Rivers United take on ASEC Mimosa, and a goal from Mofose Karidiola in the second minute of the game was enough to see the ASEC side beat the Pride of Rivers, Nigeria's only representatives left on the continent for this campaign, by a goal to nothing. However, Rivers United had already qualified for the quarterfinal stage of that second-tier club competition on the African continent. Over now to Europe for you. Karim Benzema scored the first half hat-trick in the space of just about 7 minutes. In fact, it turned out to be the fastest Madrid hat-trick in the La Liga since Fernando Hierro scored 3 goals in 6 minutes in a 7-0 win over Espanyol in April 1992.
Hierro or Morientes?
Sorry?
Is it Hierro?
No, Fernando Hierro.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It surprised you, right? It did myself too.
He's a defender, so.
This was April 1992, yeah. Ancelotti's side have cut the deficit between themselves and Barca again to 12 points. Barca had won earlier on Saturday, Lewandowski scoring 2 goals, and also Ansu Fati netting for the first time since October last year in that 4-0 victory for Barca over Elche, I understand. And they're still 12 points clear. Meanwhile, Barca have a bit of issues. I'll touch on that and hear from the guys in the biz. I'm giving you a roundup now of football results from the top teams in the big leagues on the European continent. 2 goals in each half was enough for AC Milan. They beat Napoli, defending champions, beating the champions elect now by 4-0. Well, the goals were quite impressive because Napoli did not have Nigeria striker Victor Osimhen playing for them, and see how they capitulated. Leao netted, Brahim Diaz also scored, and Alexis Salamakers. Yes, Salamakers. I knew I was going to start on that name, really. He scored again for them too in that. Inter, on the other hand, lost their own game. So it looks like it's only AC who want to blow away the Napoli fans now. The Milan team. In Germany, Bayern Munich started with Thomas Tuchel as the boss of that side. In his first game, they dismantled Borussia Dortmund by 4-2. The scoreline even flatters Dortmund, because at the point Bayern were leading by 4-0 in that fixture, and Bayern are back on top of the Bundesliga table with that victory in France.
He just told Dortmund to hell with you.
I know, right? Tuchel, okay, to hell. Oh, nice one. Oh. Well, in France, PSG lost to Olympique Lyon. Yeah, the only goal was scored by Lyon forward Bradley Bacola. And, you know, Messi was booed by some PSG fans in that game. I don't know. PSG,
bring him back. We want him. Bring him back.
Oh, you want him at Barcelona?
Bring him back.
Okay. Now, this is why I'm going to bring in my colleagues. Speaking about bringing things on, you know, you look at the dominant display of Bayern Munich over Borussia Dortmund. First game for Thomas Tuchel. And honestly, I'm thinking to myself, the Champions League comes around next week. Adeze brownish overdose. Do Man City and Pep Guardiola have to be scared that they are facing Bayern at this time?
They have to be. I'll go first. Adan and Brownish ran the other time. They have to be, because I remember when Thomas Tuchel was in England, this was a man who beat Pep Guardiola, I think, 3 times. Last 2 seasons, beat him in the cup, knocked him out when he went on to face Chelsea and Leicester. in the final. I think, yeah, Tuchel, you know, beating Chelsea. But over time, I think Thomas Tuchel has been able to, you know, master Pep Guardiola's formation. Pep Guardiola just seems to struggle whenever he plays Thomas Tuchel. But more so with a Bayern side now who have, you know, quality players. Jamal Musiala is at his best. You look at the fact that Leroy Sané is also there. Not forgetting, of course, Gnabry and, of course, Sadio Mane. Although he's not been firing the Bundesliga like we expect, but you know, when you have a good manager with a good team, it's just a plug and play. And I think that's what Thomas Tuchel is going to do with Bayern. I mean, sending out a statement to the league leaders, 4-1, doesn't come bigger than that. And we know the qualities of Thomas Tuchel. So, Pep Guardiola, watch your back, because your nemesis is coming, Thomas Tuchel.
And they continue from Genesis as his nemesis.
Why do I feel like City will beat Bayern this time?
Wow.
Yeah, why do I feel like City will beat Bayern? It's not even about the man in the dugout. It's about Man City. This is their year in the Champions League. This is their year. It's going to be a very difficult game, in as much as that psychological advantage.
Yeah.
But Tuchel didn't leave England beating City again, because it was that first season that he brought that element of surprise, that they overcame City in the FA Cup semi-final, in the Carabao Cup and the Premier League, and, no, the Champions League now. Apart from that, towards the tail end of his reign, Guardiola had to also flip the script and started beating Chelsea through with Man City. The only thing that Guardiola will falter is if he start thinking too much. Just keep it simple. Bayern are beatable. Although they also love to hug the ball, they have very strong players in every department, key important players in important department, but they are beatable. So I feel like it's not even about Tuchel now. It's about the players, what they have to offer on the day.
Because the point is, you know, Bayern are a galvanized team now. And I think that statement against Dortmund was more like, come, this is a new era. You know, Brownish had spoken about Nagelsmann and how much of a good job he did at Bayern. But Oliver Kahn, who runs things there, said, with the kind of quality we have in the team, we expected even better performances beyond just winning games from Nagelsmann. That's why we let him go and brought in Thomas Tuchel. And then Tuchel now comes in, and in his first game, the biggest test, the team who were on top of the table ahead of his Bayern, and he was that dominant. So it feels like, you know, wrong timing. Even if you thought you were going to beat Bayern, with this Tuchel thing, immediately he's coming. It's just going to be in his first 2 weeks that he would take on Manchester City or so. And that's the only reason I'm having this conversation in the first place. Overdose and Adeze may not really think it's that much of trepidation for Pep, but I'm wondering what Brownish will think before I read out your own comments to you on social media for those of you who are listening to us.
Yeah, so Overdose and Adeze have towed both lines, you know, saying Pep and the other saying Thomas
Prep.
Tuchel.
This one's saying Pep, this one's saying Prep.
I'm going to go for both. Right, the last encounter Pep had with a manager who was considered to be his bane, he beat his bane 4-0, and that was Liverpool. I think it was 4-1 that he beat Liverpool. And no other manager in his history has ever had as much of a win percentage against Pep as Jurgen Klopp has had. So Thomas Tuchel, yeah, you know, the difference now is, despite what Thomas Tuchel brought, you know, bringing a different style of play that was very functional. Based on the German style, it was very functional, got the job done. Pep overthinking again. I agree with Adeze. The biggest bane for Pep is not even Thomas Tuchel. Wow. It's the fact that Pep can overthink. And what it does is, both teams on par, on paper, they can go toe-to-toe because they have really fantastic teams. I mean, Bayern Munich under Julian Nagelsmann, when they played against Barcelona, they were not dominant. If I'm being very honest, they were just very clinical. Right?
True.
But under Thomas Tuchel, they showed the dominance against Borussia Dortmund. But then again, let's also not forget that Borussia Dortmund are the bottlers of the Bundesliga. They know how to get into great positions, but they never actually go all the way through. They're like Tottenham Hotspur, but with better win ratio.
Wickedness.
To be honest. But, I mean, thinking about that, Pep Guardiola, on the other hand, has suffered quite a lot, but he also has a game changer now.
Okay.
He has an Erling Haaland who knows how to play against Bayern Munich. He has a great history with playing against Bayern Munich, right? So, to be honest, I feel like it could swing in that way. It's a pendulum. I think in that game, it's going to be a matter of who is more clinical as opposed to a matter of the better team, because both teams are absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, bro, but the extra gifts had really.
And then you now have one side who everybody is scoring and firing on all cylinders. And you have the other side where everybody is scoring and firing on all cylinders too, but they also have one of the most, in fact, the most clinical finisher and goal scorer in Europe this season. Over 40 goals already in all competitions. I mean, it's leaning more, in my opinion, more towards Pep Guardiola, okay. Especially considering that Thomas Tuchel hasn't had enough time to sink his mentality to Bayern. But then again, he's a Bayern, he's a German manager with the German team. Yeah. Doesn't need to sink much, but I think it's going to be a great game. But I'm leaning more to sit down on defense.
Because Pep also is also a former Bayern coach himself. Too,
exactly.
Over now to the listener. We have less than 10 minutes to be out of the studio, and that's why I was giving Brownish the signs, don't mind me. Let's just touch on other sports and, of course, touch on your thoughts. So I'll pick just one call.
That rhymed.
Naito Kamsha. I'll pick just one call and then I'll read out more messages on WhatsApp and also Twitter using at Nigeria Info FM 0700 993 993 993, and for our female callers 01465 7190. This is Game On, brought to you by Femi and the gang. Hello, good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Yes, please, what's your name?
My name is Ajay from Jebude.
Welcome, good to hear from you.
About Chelsea.
Yeah.
If Mourinho comes to Chelsea, he is still sacking. Unless he says Jesus is coming, unless they can wait for Jesus Christ to come and coach Chelsea.
Wow.
And they just sack Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Aside from Jesus Christ, no coach can come to Chelsea.
I'll not be sacked. Wow. All right. Thank you for your thoughts. Good to hear from you.
Quickly, just 10 seconds, Chuma.
Yeah.
Mourinho's house is still in just 30 miles away from Stamford Bridge. Hmm. His wife is there, his children. Mourinho will always be part of Chelsea forever.
No doubt.
But he belongs to the yesterday. He's outdated with the modern day approach to football and what is expected. He still has that big image kind of, but he doesn't suit to that profile now.
Really, right?
Exactly.
Okay, this on WhatsApp says, Diesel, Guardiola beat Pep back to back, black and blue, and blue before Tuchel was sacked. The Pep didn't overthink against Real Madrid last season. The players did not defend their lead. Imar from Lagos with that message. Thank you for that. All right, I'll touch on other stories from other sports after I take a few more of those thoughts of yours on social media. This one says, good evening, guys. Please, I want to know if Aubameyang and Dato Fofana are still in Chelsea. Yes, they are. Because I don't see how a mediocre coach like Potter will abandon normal strikers on the bench and be using Kai as for false nine. Or you call it false nine in your words. So, Sheon from Ikorodu with that message on WhatsApp. Thank you so much for that one, Sheon. Good evening, guys. I'm Dami from Victoria Island. I don't like the way Chelsea sacked the innocent man. It's really painful. This is just a guy who's being playful now. This from Peculiar from Satellite Town says, on Grand Porter, the job was too big for him. The club were too big for him to handle. His sack was a relief to me and to all Chelsea fans. Yeah, Anthony Joshua's victory was a relief to us who love him and want him to get back to winning ways. And he beats Jermaine Franklin at the London O2 Arena on Saturday night. And it was a fight where the judges scored 117 to 111. Two judges scored that in his favor. And then the third judge went for 118 to 111 points, also in the favor of Anthony Joshua.
Grab the mic, it was a bit chaotic, so I'm calm. I appreciate every single person coming out. Inside this square circle, it's a different type of energy in here, so I apologise for anyone watching and seeing that type of stuff because we're sportsmen. But I respect Jermaine, I respect everyone here tonight. Eddie, thank you for this opportunity, fans and people at home watching, thank you as well.
Thank you, Anthony Joshua. And we hope that, you know, again, there's a whole talk about him potentially fighting Tyson Fury in the future. But some other people are saying, Anthony, I beg, the way you take fight that Franklin guy, you never sure see ready for Fury yet. So wait. In tennis, the guy Novak Djokovic is back to the number one position in the rankings. And the question is, how long is he going to be there now? But he's back to number one again, taking it off Julian Alcaraz. Alcaraz had been there, becoming the youngest world number one in ATP history when he won the US Open last year. And Djokovic gets that position again. Meanwhile, this is some big stuff for UFC fans and those who also love WWE. It's a massive arrangement. WWE and the company that runs Ultimate Fighting Championship, that's the UFC, will combine to create... Respect, good to see you, brother. Welcome. Will combine to create a $21.4 billion US dollar sports entertainment company. A new publicity, or a new publicly traded company, I should say, would house UFC and the World Wrestling Entertainment brand, that's WWE, with Endeavor Group Holdings taking 51% controlling interest in this new company. And existing WWE shareholders will hold 49% in stake. So we hear UFC is worth about $12.1 billion. WWE is about $9.3 billion. So both parties have come together now as one entity, and they're going to be worth about $21.4 billion. A commercial break will suffice now, and then we'll come back for more of your thoughts as we wrap up Game On.